last hands to carry this flame of religious freedom, compassion, and love. Your hands might be similar to the hands of Bjorn Peterson, who, as he held a pen writing a letter in 1886 in Winnipeg, Manitoba. He was writing to the outreach secretary of the American Unitarian Association asking for information about this new, to him, liberal religion. A woman named Jenny McCain. Nancy, can we have the picture of Bjorn? This is Bjorn. And the next picture is Jenny. Jenny McCain worked at the Unitarian Post Office Mission in Minnesota. And she was the one that received Bjorn's letters and began to correspond with him. She sent him pamphlets on Unitarianism and sharing with him her passion for this movement. After reading all this material over, he wrote her back saying, "I am fully satisfied," if we can have Bjorn back, "I am fully satisfied that I belong to your church, heart and soul. I was educated for the ministry in the Lutheran church in my own country of Iceland. But when I got to college, I could not prevail on my conscience to preach dogmas I could not believe in, so I gave up. I recognize in the Unitarian movement the reformation I have longed for and expected, and should be glad to get a chance to promote the same among countrymen, which on the whole are a very intelligent people and not priest-ridden." Jenny was quite taken with Bjorn and passionately promoted his cause with the head office in Boston and succeeded in securing for him funds to establish the Winnipeg Icelandic Unitarian Church. All the writing between them led to a blooming romance, and so hands and hearts and religion blended together to make a marriage as well as a new church. You may not be aware that many Icelanders moved to the area around Lake Winnipeg in the late 1800s. They arrived as Lutherans, but found the Canadian version of Lutheranism much too dogmatic than what they had been used to in Iceland. One of their leaders, Magnus Skaptason, preached against the Lutheran Augsburg Confession that condemned to eternal punishment all those not baptized within the faith. He managed to preach his liberal views in 5 Lutheran churches in Manitoba, but when he went to the 6th church, he found the doors had been barred. When the Icelanders realized that transformation of the Canadian Lutherans was not possible, they aligned themselves with the Unitarians, whose liberal religious views were similar to their own. Today, there are Icelandic Unitarian communities in Manitoba and closer to home, about a 30-minute drive from here, just over the border in Blaine, Washington, is the Icelandic Unitarian Congregation of Blaine. Well worth a trip on a Sunday. In Vancouver, the Women's Auxiliary of the First Unitarian Church of Vancouver began the same year as the church did, in 1909. The records say that between 1909 and 1949, 1/3 to 1/2 of the membership were women. And of those, about half were either single or forward-thinking. Forward-thinking enough that they signed the membership book with their own name rather than their husband's. It cost $1 to join the Women's Auxiliary in those days, and the dues were 25 cents a meeting. The WA, as they were called, was a major force behind the growth of the Vancouver Unitarians. They ran most aspects of the congregation and were certainly one of their major fundraisers. It was not unusual for them to raise a significant amount of money every year through the skill of their hands, cooking, baking, sewing, and caring for the life of the congregation. The Women's Church Archives tell, the Vancouver Church Archives tell us that between 1910 and 1915, the Women's Auxiliary raised the funds that built the church on 10th Avenue. And when the Depression hit in 1914, the WA focused on preparation of parcels of clothing and Christmas hampers for families in difficult situations. In 1928, the Women's Auxiliary pulled together a sale, a dinner, and an evening of entertainment. That raised $200, equivalent today of about $5,000. And with this money, they paid off the church's building loan and then gave the last $50 to the operational budget. I can just hear those women or see those women, you know, going, okay, that's done now. What are we going to do next? Your hands are not that much different from theirs, nor are our goals that much different. As Susan pointed out, our fundraising allows Beacon to thrive, to pay salaries and rent, and plan programming. But it's important that the flame that burns at the center of this community is there not just for us, and for those who come after us. But that flame is important for those across the world who are lighting their chalices this morning or yesterday in countries that are far less hospitable to liberal religious views. There are three times the number of Unitarians in India than there are in Canada. Did you know that the fastest growing Unitarian congregations are in Africa and the Philippines? The Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist flame is being carried by 800,000 people, some who live in very, very dangerous countries where it's not taken for granted that you can come together as a community and worship freely. We carry the flame for these people as well as ourselves. Hand, heart, and financial commitment, this is how we carry the flame. Every day, in numerous ways, we carry the life of this community into the life of the many communities that we are involved in. And at the end of most services, when I extinguish the chalice flame, I invite you to put that light into your heart and to take it with you and share it with all who cross your path. And I know you do. You fill up here, and you get cared for, and you get hugged, and then you have a little bit more than what you walked in with, I hope. You have a little bit more patience, a little bit more hope, and a little bit more knowledge that you're not alone. Maybe you get a little bit more courage to act on your principles. Maybe you get a little bit more courage to speak truth to power when your knees are shaking. Maybe you have kindled a passion to write a letter to a politician or phone a friend and rebuild a relationship that is strained or broken. Maybe because we have come together for a few hours each week, you go back to your other communities or to your family or to your neighbors, and your smile is genuine, and you have room in your heart to hear and to forgive. All these are examples of how we carry our flame. The flame is lit here every Sunday and is lit every Sunday whether you are here or not. We light it and carry it for you when you cannot, as you will for us when we cannot. We carry the flame together one step at a time, one pledge at a time, one day at a time. Let us sing our last song together for those who came before us and for those who will come after us and for this community today. It's number 318, We Would Be One.
Please stand as you're willing and able. Thank you.
please remain standing for our closing words by Michael Schurl. If you are proud of this church, become its advocate.